The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people of the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do a transition over to the baptismal font as we begin our children's sermon. I'll ask the kids to come up to their devices or TVs, wherever they might be. Just a quick glance to see if, yep, we're on. All right. Kids, I want to talk to you about the miracle that happens when Jesus is baptized. So Jesus shows up with all these other people in this river, and this guy named John, dressed real in a funky way, camel's hair and a leather belt, he's the one that actually takes Jesus, and back then, he was just standing in a river. It wasn't just a little shell with a little bit of water. They would get in the actual water and totally put themselves underneath the water and then come up. But what Jesus saw was what appeared to be the heavens torn apart and something coming down to him, landing on him like a dove. These are all wonderful images that we can imagine. As we know, in these waters, the way God works is through these waters and the words that we say, God is actually doing the same thing for you. And that's why we keep this baptismal font in our church right here. When you walk in the doors, the first thing that you see, because it reminds us of that incredible image of God claiming each and every one of us. Now, most of us don't remember our baptisms because we're really, really young. Some people get baptized later, and they might remember that part of it. And they might not see all the stuff that we read about in our Bible lesson today. But it doesn't change the fact that God is the one doing the work, claiming us, making us sons and daughters of God. One big family, actually. But it's this water that reminds us of that love. It's the altar that we see. It's the candles that we light. It's all these things that remind us that we keep God's love for us. So what I want you to do, with your parents' permission, if you can, during our church services in the future, maybe you get a bowl of water to sit before you at home, just to remember your baptism. Maybe you get some candles to light to remind you of the light of the world that Jesus is for us. Maybe you set up your own little altar that you put the communion elements on when we're ready for them, so that you, even at your home, can remember this great image of God's love coming down to us, as we need that every day of our lives. Amen. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the image of the Spirit coming to us through a torn heaven, an open heaven, one that is made for you to get through so that we know you are here with us. Help us to love others like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, kids. I'm going to head back up to the podium here as we begin our message for the day. Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning. The baptism of Jesus must have been incredible to see. Jesus' baptism was recorded before we had done. Jesus' baptism was recorded before he had done any works. And I can imagine the courage, this promise from the Creator. You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Must have given Jesus. This claiming of Jesus must have given him incredible courage to carry out his work and his calling. Becoming a pastor, I found one of my favorite responsibilities is presiding at baptisms. I love the experience of welcoming an infant or a toddler, or a teenager, adult, any individual into the kingdom of heaven as a beloved child of God. God is present as we pour the water over their head, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain them with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. And then the anointing. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Each and every time, I am so enthusiastic. I can't wait to get there. I'm thrilled that another child has been welcomed. But more than that, that they will know, maybe not in that minute, but sometime through their life, if I get the opportunity to affirm your baptism, you will know that God loves you for no other reason that you are part of God's family. You are made exactly how you are and loved exactly how you are. It's an incredible act of God's grace and forgiveness. It's an incredible act to witness and an incredible act to be part of. This is the inoculation of God's love being shown to you so that God's love is shown by you because now God's love is in you. The associate pastor, Missy and I had back in our home church in Fort Wayne at Messiah was Pastor Paul Alfhaus. He gave an illustration of what is happening in heaven during a baptism. And this is how I remember that illustration going. He said, if the heavens were torn apart and we could see into them during the baptism, we would see the heavenly host throwing the giant party, a giant universal party. The angels would be joyfully dancing and blowing their trumpets and playing their harps. These days you would hear DJs and disco balls would be spinning and dances of every shape, size, and culture and time would be rejoicing. Imagine the absolute best part of every Super Bowl halftime show multiplied by the heavens. Eternal joy echoing throughout the universe to welcome this new child of God. Everything pointing to the love of God descending like a dove, resting on the one being baptized. Not the pastor with the water or the oil, but the maker of the universe has now claimed the one being baptized. Don't misunderstand me. The love of God reaches everyone in God's own way. Whether or not the words are spoken or water is poured over the head or their forehead is anointed with oil, God's love occurs at any baptism. And outside of baptism. God is bigger than our public acknowledgement of baptism during church services. God's grace falls on all of us equally. On Epiphany this year, we witnessed something so contrary to God's love and welcome. It's captured the whole world's attention. As I saw the attack on our Capitol this January 6th, I was stunned. Then I turned incredibly angry. Angry that they would do this in the first place. Angry that it was planned by somebody in leadership. And angry that it would take place on the day of Epiphany, a day of welcoming, a day of recognizing Christ as the newborn king by the Magi of the East. And then my anger turned to sadness. But as a good friend of ours reminded us, this evil and the seizing of power has been with us forever, especially noticeable since the days of King Herod. As King Herod was visited by the Magi, he desperately wished to know who is the newborn king and where might he be so that he could retain power. And in doing so, he kills hundreds, if not thousands, of newborn sons everywhere. Since the beginning of time, this self-worship is what drives people with power to keep it for themselves, not realizing that the true power comes from the love of God. There's something deep within us that recognizes this violence and evil. We each have the capacity to manifest the same evil within ourselves. If you think I've stepped too far and you're like, Pastor, no way, just think about what you would do to protect your child if somebody threatened them. The thought of doing whatever you could, including violence, would at least cross your mind. We hope that we would not act on it, and we pray that we would never have to. The point is, we recognize evil in the world. When we see it, it reminds us of our own shadow side. We wish to separate ourselves from it. No matter if this evil emerges through people storming the Capitol or Hitler's plans of ethnic cleansing or slavery in every form, stealing lands from Native Americans or white supremacy, we utter self-protecting words like, what's wrong with those people? Or I know my faults, but what about them? Those people, them. In baptism, in God's love, the Holy Spirit connects the body of Christ. Those people, them. They are us. We are given eyes to see and ears to hear, emotions to rejoice, to mourn, and to get angry or show love. We are given the Holy Spirit for courage. That when that anger gets so built up that we are able to do something with it, not destructive, but to show the reflection of God's love. Angie Henderson shared an article with the social justice team of an interview with Father Brian Massengill, who's a professor of theology at Fordham University and the author of Racial Justice and the Catholic Church. Father Massengill says, courage, I discovered, is perhaps the least studied of the virtues. For example, we learn in the Catechism that the cardinal virtues are prudence, temperance, fortitude, or what we call courage, and justice. The theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. We say a lot about every virtue except courage. But Thomas Aquinas taught us that courage is the precondition of all virtue. Without courage, we are not able to be prudent. We're not able to be just, because courage is the virtue that allows us to surmount the fear that comes with the following of the gospel. If we're going to do anything that is difficult, there is going to be hesitation. There are going to be obstacles and opposition, and the fear that those obstacles engender in us. Courage is the virtue that enables us not to be afraid. We still feel afraid, but it is a virtue that enables us to not let fear help us or keep us. That will enables us not to let fear keep us from doing the right, actualizing the good. God, the Holy Creator, whose wind, from our first lesson we hear the wind, the word ruach, came over the waters. The same word for wind, ruach, is also the word used for spirit. God's spirit swept over the waters. In Hebrew, the word for waters is mayim, which can also mean of what is impetuous, violent, or overwhelming. God's Spirit came to calm everything that was violent and overwhelming. God's Spirit quiets the violent waters and creates darkness and light in the first steps of creation. God didn't take away chaos. God calmed the chaos. God created the darkness and the light, and God is found in each of those. This is the same Spirit given to us at our baptism, and through God's grace and love, we are given the power of the Holy, which produces the courage we need in difficult situations like this. God's empowering voice breaks the cedars and shakes the mountains and claims you as God's own. God gifts us the power of the Holy to grant us courage to love each other. Our second reading from Acts describes Paul's interaction with newly baptized individuals and told them about the Holy Spirit. It's surprising to me that they actually had to be told about the Holy Spirit. But he says this, he said to them, "Did you not receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they replied, "No, we had not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance." Actually, turning around, turning away from sin and to God, repentance, turning, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. We all need to be reminded that in the celebration of the heavens, in baptism, and God's claiming love, the heavens are being torn apart, and the Holy Spirit descends on each of us, the Holy Spirit that unites us with God and with one another, giving us courage to love our neighbors, even those people, the them, because we are the body of Christ united in the Holy Spirit. In Richard Rohr's book titled From Man, Wild Man to Wise Man, he writes, "It is the risk of acting like Jesus acted that reconfigures your soul. We are converted by new circumstances, much more than by new ideas. Or as I like to say, we do not think ourselves into new ways of living, we live ourselves into new ways of thinking. We are given a new opportunity and new conditions to live into new way of being united with the Holy Spirit and one another in a time of crisis like this." 2020 has shown us exactly who we are. We are vulnerable to illness and a pandemic. We are vulnerable to power-hoarding people. We are vulnerable to believe the lies of people and the lies we tell ourselves. We are vulnerable in believing we are the most powerful in the world. And as I just saw on Facebook, after reviewing my 10-day free trial of 2021, I want to return it. Unfortunately, this is not an option. We are here in 2021 and the years following. It is up to us to muster up the courage given by the Holy to show the world that the body of Christ, what that actually should look like. Thankfully, because Jesus has already died on the cross, we don't have to do that. Yet, Jesus showed us the example of what it means to have the courage for sacrificial love. What does that look like for us? That's for you to decide. Maybe it's saying something about the racial joke you hear about at the dinner table at your next family gathering or conference room. Maybe it's volunteering at a food pantry or getting to know people in need. Maybe it's working for a political party or those you associate with. Maybe it's asking questions of those you disagree with politically in order to better understand their views instead of trying to change their mind. Maybe it's a million other things laying on your heart right now, which I cannot possibly know. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God's claiming you as a child of God. You have nothing to fear. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the courage to protect, to love, and to serve your neighbor. Even those people. May God's love be shown to you so that God's love is shown by you, because now God's love is in you. Amen.